Now, I appreciate that. And like I said, we're not going to hold you till you're fasting. You can fast. If you miss your fasting day, we'll try to catch another. But try to keep that as a regularity if you can. To always get that day. And if you can't, get one. And if you miss 1 week, we'll try to catch one at least the next week. But try to fast some all the time. Now, the Bible said concerning the minister that the minister should fast often. It don't say you have to fast long, but it does say that if you're going to stay in tune with God, you got to fast often. So to be a minister, you got to fast often. All right, we got to fast often, and this ain't always easy to do. You love the Lord? Yeah, he got one. If you want to do without your water, that's all right. Sometimes they do without the water 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, and they're fasting. Moses did without it for a good long while. As a matter of fact, he didn't eat nor drink for about 40 days, and then before he could get any water or food, he went back for 40 more. About 80 days without food or water. Now, he was right in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, and a lot of folks say, well, you can't do that in this day. But if he did it in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, if we got the Shekinah glory in us, we ought to do better than that. I don't know of anybody that has. I'm not advising you to do that. It would take God for you to do that. But I am saying this. Sometimes it don't hurt to miss a day without water. My little Dale, I saw her when she was about 5 years old go all day long without food and without water. Fast the whole day without food or water at about the age of 5. So it won't hurt us to go a little while. You know, it makes it a little bit better. There's a fast with water. There's a fast without water. I believe Esther went without water and food doing her fast. And the book of Isaiah, if you've got your Bibles, I just want to read a little bit to you. And then I'll just comment a little bit and let it go. In Isaiah, the 57th chapter, the righteous perish and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. You know, a lot of times we like to think when a man gets killed like Brother Branham or something happens to the people that God has turned the devil loose on him because he's been so bad. But the Bible said a lot of times God just takes the good away from the evil that's coming on the earth because he loves them so much he don't want to see them get all mixed up like he did, although when he took Moses away. He knew he was going to wind up down in Babylon, so he didn't let Moses get in a bad way. He just took him on home. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under evergreen tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the cliffs of the rocks, among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot, even to them hast thou poured a drink offering, thou hast offered a meat offering, should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed, even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also and the posts hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works. They shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and shew my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me ordinances of justice, they take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as a noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own way, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanities and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hand. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their going. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloth. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now, there is a lot of reading, a lot of things that could be said here, a lot of preaching. But I wonder, in this last verse of the two chapters that I read here, he said that my spirit that is upon thee. How many of you believe that God in this day has poured out his spirit upon us? Let me see your hand. Now he said, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth. Now that's really something. Confession unto salvation is made with the mouth. A lot of people think that what that means is to say, I believe in my heart that the Lord Jesus died and is risen from the dead. So you believe with your heart and then you confess with your mouth unto salvation. But that isn't it at all. Here, what God is speaking of confession unto salvation with the lips is that from the time that you are born again, from that time on, you speak truth in a confession of Christ in your daily words. Everything that you think, everything that you speak, down to the intent of your heart, is for no personal motive, for no fleshly desire, for no zealous ambition of your own, but it is a confession of Christ by word as well as deed, within your mouth and in your lips. Now I'm going to show you something right here that perhaps you already know. Peter said, though you know these things, I feel to bring them to your remembrance just for a minute here, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. All right, now notice right here, he said that the people come to him daily. They are happy, or they delight, or they are glad to learn about his ways. Now we do that, don't we? How many believe we do that? We like to come to church. We love to learn about his ways. He said that they do that. See, you take, for instance, Israel was real religious. Real religious. See, and he said, and they act just like a nation that has been doing righteousness. Now, don't we all? I mean, don't we all? We act just as pious. We act just like we've done just exactly what the Lord told us. Like Saul was when God told him to do something. You know, he went and done just exactly the opposite. And he come back and Samuel said, and why did you do that? He said, well, I done what the Lord told me. See, every one of us, we feel like we've done just exactly what the Lord told us, because every man's ways is right in his own eyes. Now, if I ask you who was right tonight, right away you tell me that you was. I mean, if you told me what you really felt. Now, if you just, sometimes people, you know, they'll say differently, but that's not really what they think. But really, you think that you're the one that's right. Every man's ways is right in his own eyes. What he thinks about it, what he feels about it, what he says about it, as far as he's concerned, that's right. Now, he'll discuss something different with you if you want to have a discussion with him. But the old Chinese proverb, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Now, whatever you say that he thinks is right, he'll accept it. Whatever you say he don't think is right, he won't accept it. See, now that means that we'll never get any higher than the ceiling. Somebody say amen. I'm just talking to you. I said, if every man's ways is right in his own eyes, then we won't never get any higher than the ceiling. Our prayers won't get any higher than the ceiling. Now, like a fellow, he come to discuss with me one night. He said, well, said, I want to discuss things with you. He was Trinity, and I believed in Jesus' name. And I said, all right. I said, now, the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. I said, now, we start off here. I said, you think you're right, and I think I'm right. I said, we both sure we're right. I said, I feel like I'm just as much right as you feel like you're right. Well, he felt like he was just as much right as I felt like I was right. I said, now, every man has a right to do that. As a man, he has a right to do that. I said, but that ain't going to get us anywhere. We can argue and dispute all night long. I said, but there's one thing that we know. The Bible said, let every man be a liar, whether he thinks he's right or not. Let him be a liar, and let the word of God be truth. I said, now, if we're going to take the Bible, and we're going to let this be the foundation right here, and whatever it says, well, that's what we're going to say. Now, if we get into a dispute and we differ on something, then you're going to give me scripture and verse, or I'm going to give you scripture and verse. If it says it in the Bible, we ain't going to try to explain it away. We're just going to accept it. I said, there we can find the foundation, because faith cometh by the hearing the word, and ain't no salvation except by the faith of the word. Now, you can believe what you want to, but that doesn't mean you have faith. Faith is by the hearing of the word. Now, just because you believe you're on your way to heaven, that don't mean you're saved. You could be on your way to hell. You could believe a lie and be damned. See, faith cometh by the hearing of the word. This is the only foundation. He that God sendeth will speak not what he thinks, not what he feels, not what he believes, not what he heard or what he's been taught, but he will speak my word. Amen. All right, he that hath my word, let him speak it faithfully. Now, what I'm saying, folks, is this one thing. As we entered into a discussion, we went back to the Word, and we differed a lot of places. We went back to the Word. When the morning came, the man that was secretary of a movement, he said, if it was within my power, Brother Pye, he said, I'd change our entire movement to what you're teaching. Now, I didn't went out because I was smart. I didn't went out because I knew more than he did, because I don't believe I was the Bible scholar that he was. He was a great Bible scholar, a great man. But I went out because I had taken the Word and got on the foundation of the Word, and when he came along, he found he wasn't. He found he wasn't. He was honest enough to admit it. All right, now, I know that in as we gather together as a group here, how many of you feel reasonably sure that there's some people in our midst that'll go to hell?
Amen.
Come on now. Jesus said, few there be that find it. Amen. How many of you feel sure that there's people in our midst that feel sure that they're going to heaven and they're still going to hell? Now, that's a hard thought, isn't it? But most likely, and I'm not saying you are, but most likely a number of them that are in our midst tonight, we'll never see them in heaven. They'll be in hell. Now, they might run well, but Paul said, who hindered you? Somewhere they'll get hindered. The Bible said that the soul went forth to sow the seed, and some fell on stony ground, and some fell over here on good ground, and the fowls come and got some, and then the hot scorching sun it got some, and finally there was some that did fall into good ground, and it was just 30-fold, maybe some 60-fold, and finally got 100-fold out of some of it. Now, what I'm saying is, because we got the Word, because we heard the Word, that don't mean that we got it. Because spirits, how many of you know that fowls that come along and got that were spirits? Maybe one fella, he got something, but a spirit of lust clipped his. Another fella, he got something, or a sister, but a spirit, if a spirit of lust didn't get it, maybe one of the fowls of temper got it. And maybe another one got something, but maybe an evil spirit of resentment got it. Just can't keep from resenting the things of God or the people of God. And then maybe all of them got by them. But then maybe a spirit of gossip, a spirit of backbiting, and on and on and on, a spirit of self-personality, personal motives, personal desires, a puffed-up spirit, a know-all spirit. All of these are evil spirits. See, and they are out to get you. A spirit of showmanship. Even in preachers, I see a lot of showmanship. A spirit of showmanship. See, the devil is out to get you. It don't matter how he gets you, he's going to get you. One way or another, he's going to get you. All right, now he's out to get you. See, but the Bible said that some of it come up on good ground. Isn't that right? Some of it come up, brought forth a harvest. I'm just talking to you tonight. All right, now, it says here that these people was the kind of people that went to church. They was delighted when church time come. They was glad to approach unto God, glad to talk with him. But now they had a question. They had a question. They said, some of our people is fast as high as 40 days, and we can't get no blind eyes open. Can't get no deaf ears unstopped. Said, we fasted. Said, but you don't pay any attention to our fasting. Said, you just don't pay any attention to it. All right, now let's see. The Lord will always answer you. How many of you believe that? You ask him what the trouble is. Some folks say, well, I'm sick and I've been sick for years and I just can't get healed. How many believe there's a reason for it? Somebody said, well, God promised. Well, you think he broke his promise? I used to get down and pray. Some of you heard me say this, and I'd say, Lord, you promised. Lord, you promised. And one day God spoke to my heart and said, what are you reminding me of my promises for? I said, don't you think I know I promised? And I got to thinking about it, and when I got down to pray from then on, I'd get to saying, I said, Lord, you promised. And then I'd catch myself. I said, Lord, I'm just reminding myself that you promised. That's right. That's right. God doesn't change. Somebody said, but he promised, and he must have changed his mind. The Lord has one thing. He said, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. He ain't never changed for man. From the day that he nailed Christ to Calvary, from that very day he took away your sickness, took away your sins, he has never felt one ill feeling towards you from that time, nor he never will feel what you say. Well, why do I feel like I do? Because you don't walk straight. You don't think straight. You don't talk straight. You don't live straight. There's the trouble. It ain't Christ. It ain't Christ. He hasn't changed his feeling one time. Not one time. Not one time. Peace on earth. He said, I got a good will toward man. He said, you think that I think evil toward you. He said, but I know my thoughts that they're good toward you. Now, is that right? See, that's where we're missing out, folks. There is a faith. You say, well, Brother Pike, if I disbelieve, where does that put me? The Bible said your unbelief cannot make the faith of Christ of none effect. I don't care how much you disbelieve. That you say, but I believe I'm not a Christian. That ain't got a thing to do with it. Somebody said, but if I believe I ain't a Christian, then I ain't a Christian. No, you can believe you ain't a Christian, still be a Christian. I say, but you got to believe you're a Christian. No, you can believe you're a Christian, not be a Christian. You don't have a thing to do with it. Now, somebody said, I know you're crazy, Brother Pike. No, I'm not. I'm telling you what the Bible said. Your unbelief doesn't have one thing to do with it, not one thing. Can your unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? No. No. Because you disbelieve, can God deny himself? The Bible said he remaineth faithful. He cannot deny himself. If God has made a promise and gave Jesus Christ to die for you, he can't deny that. He can't change that. Did you know that if my salvation depended on what I believed, every day and all day long, I'd die and go to hell. Because I'm up and down like a seesaw, in and out like a swing. Now, if it depended on my righteousness, I'd be in bad shape. Because you said there's none good, no, not one. There ain't none good. The Bible said this, it says to them that are under the law. Somebody said, but I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. But the Bible said if you've fallen from grace, you're under the law. As it said to them, under the law, to shut every mouth, the Bible said. So nobody can't boast of works, keeping the law. Now, but we are under grace. We are saved. How many believe that? We're saved. All right, now, you say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? All right, now, let's just look at it just for a minute now. Can your unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? No. See, it doesn't matter. It depends on whether or not you've been born again. That's what it depends on. If you've been born of his Spirit, I don't care how much in and out you are up here, that don't have anything to do with it. Now, you want some scripture for it? The Bible said, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. He knoweth all things. He said, happy is he. Happy is he. If he won't let the condemnation get in the way of his believing. Is that right? Happy is he that doth not condemn himself over the things which he has allowed to happen in his life, or which he alloweth daily to happen. Somebody said, well, now if that be so, then the Catholics is right. I can drink a little booze. I can do what I want to. It didn't say, happy is he that did not condemn himself over the things he practiced. You can't practice sin. He was speaking of mistakes and errors and stumblings and things that we do not intentionally do. And you do them every day. How many times today have you said something you know you ought not to have said? You thought something you know good and well you ought not to have thought. I'm talking about this very day. How many times have you got around the corner and said, Brother so-and-so is so-and-so and so-and-so, but how many? Somebody said, well, that don't amount to nothing. But the Bible said, the backbiter shall not stand in the holy hill of God. He that backbiteth with his tongue, it's a little member, but it sets on fire the course of hell. All right, now, that means you're lost. Somebody said, wait a minute. No, that means you're lost. If you did that one time today, the Bible said, if you transgress in one point, you're guilty of all. I don't care how good you live. If you live good all day long, and never transgress, but just one time today, you're lost. Somebody said, but I live good all day, and I didn't, I have heard this, and I didn't transgress all day long. Well, maybe it was the day before, or the day before, or the day before, or the day before, or maybe it'll be the day after, or the day after, or the day after, or the day after, that somewhere you're going to make a mistake. Then you're lost. Because if you transgress in one point, you're guilty of all. See, not one jot nor tittle of the law can pass till everything be fulfilled. All right, now, where does that bring us? If there's any salvation, it's under grace. Somebody said, well, now, if that be so, Brother Pike, then if we are under grace, then that means that we're not going to be justified by the law anyway. We can just do any way we want to. No. No. See, you got to do everything that you can before the grace of God even takes over. It don't even start till you've come to like I say, the weakest link in the chain. After you've done all that you can to stand, he said, then stand because grace will take over. Be strong in the power of my might then. Be stand by grace then. When you've done all you can to stand, then stand on because grace will take over. But grace doesn't even touch you till you've done all you can. Same way with faith. The faith of Christ cannot be changed. Your faith is up and down according to your works. But that doesn't affect the faith of Jesus Christ. Your unbelief has no power over the faith of Jesus Christ. It's a finished work in the foreknowledge of God. Now you are heir to it by your believing. You are heir to it by your believing. If you have believed in it and you have been born again, I don't care how much condemnation comes in, how much the devil oppresses you, how much he casts you down, you're still a child of God. You are eternally born into the kingdom of God. You can't be unborn. Somebody said, but you can die. No. Gods don't die. Gods do not die. Say, well, you can die out of the kingdom. No. Gods do not die. There's no such thing. When you get eternal life, that's what it means, is you can't die. Like we've had a little difference in discussion concerning Adam and Eve. People say that Adam and Eve was eternal, but you, brethren, know that I don't believe that Adam and Eve was eternal. If they had had eternal life, they could have never have died, because that's what eternal life means, is to never die. They was in the Shekinah glory of God, but not born to the Shekinah glory. We're not going to get into that. But anyway, I don't believe it was eternal. I don't believe it's eternal. All right, now, I believe with all my heart that there is a people today that is in or under the Shekinah glory of God. I believe that. Because he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, I believe that. He poured it out on a donkey. He can pour it out on a dog. In anybody. Any flesh. Now, are you following me? But some people are under it. All of Israel was under the covenant. They were under it. All of them. But all of them were not of Israel. All of the people was under the cloud. The Bible said, Brother Ted, and all of them passed through the Red Sea. But with many of them, God was not pleased because they mumbled, they grumbled, they complained. Now, Paul said, these things happen for your admonition. Now you say, what does that mean, Brother Pye? That means one thing, children of God, that if you mumble and grumble, you have never been born again. The Bible said, do all things without murmuring, without finding fault. If you find fault, then you don't have the Spirit of Christ. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a lamb-like nature that will let people walk over it and do it anyway. It doesn't resent. It doesn't rise up. It doesn't do a thing. Oh, let's read just a little more here. Now, I wasn't going to get to preaching to you because I said I was just going to hold you a little bit and stop it. I meant that. And it said, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Now, it's hard to determine whether you're fasting for a tent 150 feet long or 200 feet long. It's hard to figure out whether you want to be on 10 television stations or just be satisfied with 50 radio stations. It's hard to tell whether or not that you want to preach a sermon so somebody can see how good looking you are or how handsome you are or how much you know. Or you just talk a lot and got a lot to say. Maybe that's the reason. Or because you want to be the leader. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Make me feel at home. All right, now it's hard to tell why you are fasting, why you are praying, why you are preaching, why you are giving, whatever you do. You can give to be seen. You can give to have men admire you. You can preach just to have followers or have somebody to esteem you or to desire admiration or to want attention. Any of that's wrong. Every bit of it's wrong. We are not supposed to want attention only in one sense. Peter said, look on us. That is to get the attention to where we can manifest Christ to the people. And when I say Christ, I mean all the way Jesus Christ from within. No personality, no ambition, no desire, no nothing for filthy lucre or to be Lord over God's heritage or to be popular or for any other reason. If we got those motives, we are wrong. So he said, the reason that I've not paid any attention to you, he said, is because you find pleasure. Now, I tell you, it's a lot of fun. If you go on a 3-day fast and you all the time, you're telling yourself, when you come off, you're going to be on 10 radio stations, 50 radio stations, and somebody's going to give you $500,000 and you're going to sail around the world, you know, and fly around the world. You find pleasure in that kind of fasting. But Jesus said it's of no profit to him. He said, when you fast, don't disfigure your faces. Don't let nobody know about it. Do your alms in secret. All these men up on the radio stations is wasting their time. Somebody said, but look at what they're getting and look at what they're doing. They had their reward. That's what it is. Somebody said, I went on a 30-day fast. Somebody give them an oil well. Somebody give them a Cadillac. That's your reward. See, but the Bible said when you pray, don't get up and pray like the hypocrites or that love the salutations in the marketplace and say, hey, that fellow's got revelation. Hey, look at that fella. Oh, he can preach. Look at that fella. That's no good. That's no good. If you desire those kind of things, it's no good. You're no good to God or anybody else. Now, they find pleasure and they exact all the labors. They got all their plans all made out. The Bible said, behold, ye fast for strife and debate. See who can be the smartest. And the smite with the fist of wickedness. God calls it a fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. In other words, he said, now if we would come together and have a fast for no other reason than to glorify God. Just say, Lord, I'm breaking my body down and I'm letting my body be in your presence just so that you can be glorified. That is to say, Lord, to where I'll be broken and I'll be tender and I won't be resentful and I won't be haughty, to where when the Holy Spirit comes down, he can just go right through me like a light to the people. Right through me. For no other purpose but for them to be the children, to be fed. The parents should lay it for the children. Now listen to this. Now, is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? He said there's no pleasure in sacrifice to God. Jesus did all of that. Christ did all of that sacrifice. And I read it to you in the end of the second chapter over here. For he said, mine arm has brought salvation. I'm the one who's brought righteousness. I've done all these things that he might get the glory for all of it. See, so that's no profit. That goes back to the two kind of faiths. You say, well, why must I do it then? If he's already done it, why must I do it? Because your faith is perfected by your works. God's faith was perfected by his own works. How many understand what I'm saying? Now, it is his faith that saves us. Contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, which faith by which you are sanctified, once and for all, perfected forever by that. Now then, it's what we do in submitting our bodies, our lives, unto him that causes us to take hold of the supernatural faith of God. The reason we don't have that faith is because we don't subject our body more to the nature of Jesus Christ. God has made it, brethren, to where this can be a willing thing. Did you know that if you had to do this to get salvation, it would not be a willing thing and God could not accept it? It would be of works and a man could boast and say, well, I've done more than somebody else. But in that God has wrought salvation by his arms, then whatever you do is on a willing basis. It's neither here nor there with God as far as bringing salvation, as far as bringing healing, as far as bringing deliverance. It has nothing to do with it. The only good it is that you might temper yourself, cleanse your vessel, and purge your vessel that it might shine more radiant through you to the people. That's all good it is. Now, what I'm saying, Why is it that people don't see what we're doing? Why is it that we're not doing anything to where the people can see it? Now, I want you to hear me real close now. Why is it that people can't see nothing that we're doing for God? Why is it they can't see anything? Why is it there's nothing that's happening? Why is it our light is not breaking forth to where people can say, well, something's going on for God? Why is that? Why is it that we don't have the good things of life to eat or have the good things of life to enjoy? Why is that? There is a reason. Why is it that we're sick? There is a reason. Here it is right here. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. See, when we get our words ordered aright and we quit gossiping, quit backbiting, quit finding fault, quit saying this ain't that way and I don't understand this. I never heard in my life more people that take the excuse that I don't understand to condone their evil and their wrongs. I don't understand this. I don't understand. And I catch their spirit and I say, Lord, this poor brother, he don't understand. And then I catch the spirit of the Lord speak back and speak to me. Show says, not that at all. Said he's self-willed. Said he's got something in his heart he don't want to submit to, or he don't want to do, or he don't want to allow for, and he's self-willed and he won't accept it. That's what the God of heaven shows. Then I catch a sister, like I catch one tonight, that I do just about every night, when her spirit is always out of tune, and she can't ever get straightened out over it. Just as sour tonight in her attitude as she always is, because she's resentful. You say, that poor sister, she don't know, but that's not the way God tells it. See, the Lord looks at us different, folks. He looks at us different. I have people that will smile at me, and the Lord will say their heart's as wretched as it can be. And I have people that won't smile at me, and the Lord said, they're sweet as sugar. I mean, that's the essence of it. I said, don't worry about them, son. They're precious. See, that don't have anything to do with it. The expression on the face don't have anything to do with it. Now, I know that wisdom makes your face to shine. I know that. And I know that a merry heart maketh a glad countenance. And I can tell some of you just by looking at your countenance, you ain't got too glad a heart. You ain't lost your salvation, but you just lost the joy of it. All right, now. Now, what did he say here? He said, it's because of your words. Your words are not ordered aright. A man will eat good by his words. Now, look, listen to this. Now, he said, to loose the bands of wickedness. That is to say the right things to help the heavy-hearted, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break the yokes off of them, every yoke. All right, now, look. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Not only spiritual bread, folks. But Paul said, the disciples said, remember the poor. This we was careful to do. And Paul said that when I come around, he said, if you got any crops, he said, gather them crops, that there won't be no gathering when I come. I don't want you working in the fields when I come. He said, get it all together. When you got it all together, I'll send somebody by to pick up whatever you want to give to the poor brethren. Look, people, here's what he's saying right here. He said, this is the kind of fast that I like, is when you do without some of your bread. When you do without some of your bread. He said, if you want to give the hungry some of your bread, you want to share with Mexico, you want to share with India, you want to share with somebody that's in need. He said, this is what I delight in. All right, let's see what he says about it. And then we'll try to close. All right, look. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? Somebody said, well, I'm just so nervous. I just don't know what to do. Somebody's visiting down in my house, and I'm just nervous. Well, why are you nervous? Are you nervous because you think they're going to find out how wretched you are and the way you live? Or find some of the filthy literature you read? Or because you're not going to be able to hold your temper till they can get away? Are you worried because you're afraid you and your wife's going to have it out like you do once every so often and somebody's going to find out about it? Why are you nervous? See, somebody says, well, I just can't stand it. I just can't stand for nobody to stay with me. Why come you can't? They say, well, I'm nervous. Well, why are you nervous? So, well, they just get on my nerves. But why do they get on your nerves? You know why? Because you're afraid they'll eat some of your food. You're afraid that you might have to crowd up in a bed where you're not so comfortable and the flesh don't have it quite so easy. Somebody say amen. See, you don't want to share anything. You're afraid it's going to take a dollar more to get some groceries with than it did the week before. Come on. I'm just telling you the way the book teaches it. Now, but the Lord says, because you're selfish, because you're greedy, because you do like that, then I'll be selfish with you. He said, you resist me, I'll resist you. That's the Bible. Beware you that forget God. He said, I'll tear you into pieces. Now, what is it? What is it? See, we be greedy. We be selfish. We don't want to share. That's right. Anyway, it says here, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Everybody's got some bread. Let me see your hand. He said to share it with the hungry. Have you had any hungry folks lately? Somebody said, well, we didn't have nobody. Well, bring some up my house. We get some hungry folks. I had some down at the same bitches, just as hungry as they could be. Somebody said, who, them? Jesus eat with the sinners and the publicans and send the rain on the just and the unjust. It's the sick that need a physician. If we'd stop being so self-righteous and talk about everybody that comes through here and finding fault, I believe we could be a light. Don't you? Don't you? Somebody said, well, I'm afraid they'll eat up my ice cream. Just like they ain't no more in the world. They just act just like if they eat up that loaf of bread, they ain't no more in the world. That's the reason some of us are fat and out of proportion. Greedy. Eat, eat, eat. Don't want to share it with nobody. We eat their food and our food. I made this statement. Little boys and girls starving to death overseas because we eat up their food. That's right. We're twice as big as we ought to be. Come on, somebody say amen. You know, there's one thing about it. They don't like for you to talk about the street they live on. They don't care what you say about the neighbors. But don't be saying nothing about them. All right, now. He said it was to deal thy bread to the hungry. And here it is right here. That thou bring the poor that is cast out to thy house. And you know when folks are poor, that's when they don't have no place to go and ain't got nothing to eat. And need a helping hand. I was talking about holiness preachers. How many believe that? And their families too. Now, somebody said, but Brother Pike, you just told me that if we'd do all these things, we'd have all the good things. Paul said, you abound. Said, I'm glad of it. Said, I wish I could abound with you. But said, it looks like them preachers and them apostles, you know, they just set forth to be the offscouring of the world. You know why? He said, while you abound, said, we're abased. You know why the Lord did that? To try you. To see what you'd do with yours. He gave all of them an inheritance, but the priests, he said, I'm going to let them have what you got. I'm going to let you share with them. See, that's to try you, to see what you'll do. Is that all right? He done it. It has to be. All right. Now, it said here that you bring them down to your house. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. I wonder if you folks know what I'm talking about. It's said for you to bring them down to your house. Sometimes we have folks coming in here and they stayed down at brother such and such's house last time, and the time before they stayed down at brother and sister such and such, and the time before that, and the time before that, and the time before that. And nobody else ever gave them an invitation to go down to their house. Nobody did. Somebody said, they just don't stay at my house. I know why. You don't ever ask them to. You don't ever ask them to. All right, now, I noticed, too, that we've got a little bit of partiality. We got some folks, they like for somebody to stay at their house, but they don't like for somebody to stay at the house. In other words, they don't mind somebody staying. Sometimes it ain't got no children. Or it's got one or two children, but I don't want to get over that. And if they're too hardy of eaters, they'd rather go somewhere else. They size them up. That's right. I was just saying about Brother Al. Me and Al, we'd be in bad shape if we come around your house. I'd hate to be off somewhere, you know, and had Brother Ted or some of them pastor here, and me and Al, we'd come over here to stay a while. But somebody would receive us. It's not really funny, but it does sound funny, don't it? Paul said, bear with me a little bit in my folly. All right, now, he said here, said that you're to bring them down to your house. Thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. Now, sometimes these people stay one night and then they're just about cast out. The people don't tell them to get out, but they know the way they're acting. That means for them to go. So when they're cast out, it says somebody else is supposed to take them in. All right, it says right here, take them that are cast out to your house. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. Well, we try to do that. If anybody comes in here naked, we try to buy him something or tell him to put on something. I told my son this evening, he come down, I told him he'd go out to put on some clothes if he stayed down at my house. But this don't mean that. Just like we sent some clothes not too long ago, took $1,000 to get them across the border, but the man let them cross the border without it, to try to clothe some of those poor people down in old Mexico. And a lot of times we have people that, it don't hurt sometimes to buy a preacher's suit. Somebody said, well, I can't afford it. Well, the reason you can't afford it is because you spend all the money on you. That's the reason you can't afford it. Now, like I said one time, I went down to a woman's house and she said, well, I just can't afford to give nothing. There was a telephone over here, and living room suit over here, and this over here, and that over here. And I looked all around. I thought, well, no wonder you can't afford to give nothing because you done spent it all on you. Or if you hadn't spent it all on you, you done got yourself so obligated for debts that if you had a spare dollar, your wife would buy something else so you'd have to pay on it every month. That's the reason you can't give nothing. Now, the Bible said labor that you might have to give, not to have to buy, amen, but to give. All right, now that's what your labor is supposed to be for. All right, now it said here that you're supposed to cover him and said, and hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Now, I want you to listen to this. When these preachers come through, somebody said, but the reason I don't do it, Brother Pike, is because I don't think they're living right. But who asked you whether or not they're living right? Nobody didn't ask you if they're living right. It might be you that's not living right. You might be judging them by the way you live. And your living might not be right. Even if they're not living right, God didn't say give to them because they're living right. Like we was going to do something for a drunkard one time, and the pastor of the church over where we was at, oh, he said, you can't give nothing to him, said he drinks it all up. I said, well, I didn't got nothing to do with it. I said, them little kids is hungry down there. I said, they need some help. But if you give it to him, you drink it all up. I say, no, go buy some food and take it down there. There's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. If you have to go down there and knock on the door and say, John. Oh, pardon me, John. I didn't mean that. But anyway, whoever it is, knock on the door. Say, I got some food. And if you think that he ain't going to give it to the kids, say, I thought he'd come in and talk a while. Set it all on the table and call all the children. Sit there and watch them eat it. I've done things like that. If that's the only way, well, that's the way you can do it. All right, now look, here's what he says, folks. Here's what he says. And I believe this. The little children that come in, make them some dresses. Some of them want to wear long dresses. Some of them need clothing. Some of them need shoes. Go buy them some. Go buy them a pair of shoes. Go buy them a pair of pants. Go buy them a dress. Go buy them something. Come together with the brethren if you want to and say, brother, I felt like brother so-and-so that we ought to do something for him. We'll do it. Now, it said they will see your good works, your light, and they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. Is that Bible? Somebody tell me I'm wrong if that's wrong. All right, it said, then shall thy light break forth. People say, hey, did you know that he gave so-and-so $10 the other day? Somebody said, but I gave somebody $10. When? 6 months ago? I'm not talking about that. The Bible said forgetting those things that are behind. I'm talking about now. What did you give today? Well, if you give today and tomorrow, you say, well, I gave something yesterday, but what about today? What about tomorrow? See, take up your cross daily, the Bible said. But you say, but if I do that, I'll spend everything that I got. Well, that's what Jesus told a rich young ruler to do. Sell all you got. You know, a lot of folks, they say, well, Brother Pike, you got everything, and that's the reason you don't have to worry. I ain't got nothing. I've told you again and again, I don't have nothing. That's right. I give my wife and children to the Lord. I give myself to the Lord. And I give everything I got to the brethren and to you people, everything lawfully, spiritually, godly, and otherwise, even the house I live in. Like I told that fellow that come down here today, he was talking about, I said, well, I ain't got nothing. I said, this ain't my house. I said, I just live here, that's all. Now somebody said, but if I give everything away, what will I have? Jesus, what more could you want? No, the truth is, friend, you can't give everything away. The Bible said you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Somebody said, well, the reason I'm in the condition I'm in is because I just give so much. No, no. The reason you're in the condition you're in is because you give so little. Now, I've said this and I still say it. A lot of preachers come through the Bible and say, take up your cross and follow me. It sounds like they just take up your offering and follow me because they feel like they got to get an offering at every place that they stop at. And if you don't give them an offering, they won't say nothing about it, but I'll tell you, they feel like you backslid. Now, to give, I'm speaking about preachers. It takes preachers to lead the people into this too now. All right, listen. It said to give your bread to the hungry, to give. Give, not to preach to receive, but preach to give. In other words, not to be a preacher that wants to get, but a preacher that wants to give. Give your time in fasting, give your time in prayer, give your substance, give everything you got. Then God will bless you. Somebody said, well, look at old Brother David Terrell. I tell you, if you knew the truth, old Brother David Terrell gives. It's got to be that way. As a matter of fact, I've read some of his magazines, and I've never heard him say too much about giving in that way, but I've read where he's given hundreds and thousands of dollars to people in Mexico to build buildings and different things. He might not never get to heaven. I might not never get to heaven. You might not never get to heaven, but you can't give a cup of water without getting a reward. Did you know that the rich men know this? How many of you know that the rich men know this? It's a true fact. I've read books that the leading candy companies and big organizations of the world, I mean the big ones and the big bankers, did you know that they practice tithing and giving because they've learned there's a reward in it? Now, there's a lot could be said about that. But now, coming on down here, he said, now look, folks, some of you that are always complaining, I want you to hear this. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Somebody said, I'm just so sick. I'm just so sick. Well, why are you sick? I wonder if it could be because you're stingy that you're sick. It says here that your health will spring forth speedily when you give your bread to the hungry and when you take the poor into your house. Now, you Bible scholars, is that Bible, am I reading this right? That's Isaiah 57 or 58. Am I reading it right? All right, now, do you believe that God's word can be broke or changed? This is the trouble, folks. If you suffer, if you make others suffer, God's going to let you suffer. Now, he said, your health will spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. That is, people know you're living right. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Then, now look, listen at this. Somebody said, I pray the prayer of faith and nothing don't happen. I ask God to do this and God don't answer me. I say, Lord, will you let me do this? Or God, will you give me that? Or God, will you? But listen at this. Now, he said up here, he said, you say we have fasted and called and you don't answer. Now, here he tells them why that he hasn't answered. And then right here, he tells them very clearly, then shall thou call. You know what will happen? When you do these things, the Bible said when you do the things in John that please God, hereby you assure your heart. Then do you have confidence in God that whatever you ask, you're going to receive. That's the difference. It's faith. That's where faith comes in, see. It says, then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speak in vanity, if thou draw up thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and the darkness be as noonday. Now listen to the blessings of all this. The Lord shall guide thee continually. Somebody said, I just can't find the will of the Lord. I can't find the leading of the Lord. Something's wrong. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul. You can find the leading of the Lord if you'll get self-will out of the way. You can't give nobody the leading of the Lord when every time you tell them something, they listen at you and then they go off somewhere and say, well, I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. They're too much self-will. They ain't never going to find the leading of the Lord. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. That is when others are dry. You won't be dry. You won't be dry. Now listen. And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. That'll make Al feel better right there. Some of them criticize him because he's a little on the fat side, like I am. But it says here, said he make your bones fat, Al. Might be a good testimony in that. All right, now listen to this. And thou shalt be like a watered garden. I like that. Just water you all the time. And like a spring of water whose waters fail not. You won't never give out. God will give you a message. And they that shall be of thee, in other words, the ones you convert, shall build the old waste places. In other words, they'll bring back salvation. They'll bring back light. They'll bring back a church. It'll be a testimony. They'll bring back something people will want and follow after. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Look what else he says here. If you won't do the things that you delight in, he said, that is, in his holy day, and that don't just mean Sunday, but in the time of the moving of the Spirit, in this age we're living in, not find your own pleasure, but do what he wants you to do. Honor him with your substance. Your barn will be filled with plenty. Then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord. In other words, when you really do something, then it'll be a joy to you, he said, and you'll be glad you did it, and then God will bless you. He loves a cheerful giver. I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. That means where the rich men dwell. And feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, I'm not going to go any further. But you see, what I'm trying to say is God will prosper you. He'll bless you. Whatever you do will be prospering. You'll be in health. He'll bless you because that's his will. But he can't bless you unless you have faith. And you can't have faith unless you do the things that please God. And the thing that pleases God is to love one another, not in word, but in deed, children of God. You understand what I'm saying? Thus the law is fulfilled in one word, love. Let's stand together. Now, I appreciate you listening. I didn't mean to be so long and drawn out. I didn't have any plans to do that. But in that we had the prayer time and so forth, it took a little longer than I thought, and then when I got into the discussion here, some things come up I felt like would be confusing if I didn't go at length with them. So I hope that this is not confusing to you. Now, see, that's why I say that you can believe, you can be all cast down, and in your head you can believe that God is against you. I've been like that. I just feel like God was 1,000 miles from me. Feel like I just couldn't get him to listen at me, and all the time he was right in my heart. Never left me, never forsook me. You ever been like that, Brother Jim? Feel like he was 100 miles away. And then when I get kind of contrite, I'd say, well, Lord, that's all right. Whatever you want, well, that's all right with me. And about that time, he just shower all over me. Just bless me. Praise God. I tell this right quick. I was over in LaGrange, Georgia one time. Some of you have heard it. And I was sitting there and my rent was due. No place to go. The woman was hard to get along with that we had rented the little old room or whatever it was from, the couple of rooms or whatever it was. Sitting there and nowhere to go, nowhere to preach, nothing to do, not knowing nothing about nothing. And I sat there and I just literally felt like there was a mountain on top of me. I felt like I was being crushed to death. Thought about my wife and my little old children. And I said, well, Lord, it was cold, I believe, in the wintertime. Yes, it was. I remember. And I said, well, Lord, I said, I'm not going to complain or grumble. I said, you know what's best. And I said, even though I can't put it all together and I don't understand it, I said, but if you want to crush me, and I feel like I just bred to be crushed, I said, well, you just go ahead, because whatever you want to do, that's all right. And with that, I just broke down in tears. I think Betty and all of them went to bed, and I was sitting there in the night. And I broke into tears, not knowing what to do. And did you know that I never got a richer, more sweeter, more abundant outpouring from God in my life than I got that night? Brother Jim, it looked like he turned a whole tub of honey over in my soul. And it looked like that I was just bathed in the glory of God. And something leaped up in my heart that I knew was faith. Like we sing that song, everything's going to be all right. 10,000 people couldn't have convinced me no different. And did you know that by the morning, I believe it was, or it might have been the same night. It was the same night, wasn't it, Betty? That's what it was. It was the same night. Here come a knock at the door, and here come in a lawyer's wife with a big old fur stove around her neck, or whatever you call it. Here come the lawyer all dressed up, and they had traveled all the way from another town, pulling a beautiful trailer, pulling it with the pickup truck, and it had one of the windows out. And I know for a fact that they had a big, fine two-story home and probably a nice automobile, and he was a lawyer, but this is the truck he had. And that night, he said that his heart was convicted, and he wasn't even a Christian. And he said that they couldn't rest till they got out and hooked that trailer up, pulled it over there, and said, didn't give it to me. Sometimes God wants us to have a little responsibility. I think I'll say this. Some folks, they don't want to do nothing. Come on, say amen. I said, they're some of the laziest people that call themselves preachers I ever seen in my life. They don't want to pay. They don't want no light bill because they're afraid they'll have to pay it every month. They don't want no car because they're afraid they'll have to pay on it. They don't want no house because they're afraid they'll have to pay the rent. They don't want nothing. And they say, I want Jesus. Listen, to be like Jesus is to have responsibility. Well, you can't do nothing for God like that. Somebody said, well, I just can't do nothing. I'm not surprised. You won't never do nothing like that. When you get out there and face the wind like the eagle does, then it'll take you up higher and higher and higher and higher. You got to take on obligations. These men that set these big tent campaigns, they obligate themselves for thousands of dollars at one time. These men that rent these auditoriums, I know for a fact, some of them obligate themselves for $500 a night, and sometimes they ain't got no money. They're trusting God. Somebody said, I wonder why they get so much, because they believe so much. They took a big step. God give them a big bite. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Well, anyway, here they come in, had the papers made out, said, here, Brother Pike said, just sign this right here. No down payment, no nothing. Said, we feel like God wants you to have it. Or that was the essence of it. And I took it and lived in it for years. A number of years, I believe it was, better that we lived in. Is that right? God blessed us. Many times I couldn't pay on it. But I just pray, and weeks and months would go by, and I still wouldn't pray on it. Which is a bad policy, I'll tell you right now. When you let your debts go, that is a bad testimony. Like Brother Branham said in one of his books, and I've always believed that, he said a man ought to pay his debts. He ought to pay his debts. Now, I believe that, folks. But anyway, God blessed us. He worked with me because I was sincere. He worked with me. And I was trying to do something. God will bless you if you let him. He'll bless you. I had told some of them that God give me a trailer. I told them my faith, and he did it. He did it. You love the Lord? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I can see. Like Brother Branham said when he was way off up in the snow up there, he said, I thought I was a great hunter. And I thought it was all these things. And said, a voice spoke to me and said, when you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. That's why I say a lot of times we can think that we're right and be so wrong. We can think that we've got it just exactly right and be so far off and can't understand why that we can't get blessed. But the thing to do is to ponder. Look well to your going. Lay everything to heart. Praise God. 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 Listen. Let me say this in closing tonight. Brethren, don't be double-minded. Sisters, don't be double-minded. Whatever you do, don't be double-minded. When you're like that, you're like a man beholding yourself in a glass, and you go and straightway forget what manner of man you are. Hear the laws of liberty and continue in them, and therein you'll be blessed. You wives, honor your husbands. Honor your husband. We have a lot of friction out of wives. I hear about it, or the Lord lets me know about it. And let me say this. I wish all the women in the world could hear me say this tonight. You cannot be saved. You cannot be saved, lady. I challenge anybody anywhere in the world, man or woman, boy or girl, to show me where a woman can be saved, a married woman. Can be saved unless she honors her husband. She cannot. The Bible is written, God wrote this Bible in such a way, because the woman is a type of the church, to cause that woman to honor, to obey, and reverence her husband. She is saved by faith in the Word. And to manifest your faith, you've got to be a doer of the Word, the writer said. So the only way you can be saved, the only way, is faith in the Word. And the Word commands you to honor, reverence, obey your husband in all things, not just when you feel good or when you're not temperamental or when you think it's convenient, but all the time, even if he is a sinner, that he might be won over by your conversation. As he beholds your fear of God. Is that right? See, it's wrote in that way. That's why the Bible said he's the Savior of the body. You have to be saved through him. God wrote it for his benefit to cause a type of the church. A rebellious woman is a type of the world. She will be lost. A cruel man to his wife is a type of Satan. That's right. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Don't abuse your wife. Now, I say this a lot of times. The wife says, well, my husband tries to make me do such and such, and I just ain't going to do it. But the Bible said for him to command his household after him. God told him to do that. Said, Eve, you'll obey Adam. Command. How many of you know Peter commanded them to repent? That's God speaking to the church. Command them. He'll command them. Abraham, you'll command your household after you. Listen, it said, wives, be in subjection. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you know what gravitation and subjection is? Let me see your hand. Be in, that is, be subject. Be subject. Submit yourselves. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband. Be subject unto your husbands. The Bible said, that the wife and the children, for a man to be a minister, the wife and the children must be in subjection to the husband with all gravity. Is that right? Who said that? God. How can you be saved, lady? By believing that. How can you prove you believe that? By doing that. How can you be lost? By just neglecting it. There you are right there. You believe it? It's the truth, so help me God. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Don't be cruel to her. The Bible said God will get the man that deals treacherously with the wife of his youth. Don't you think you're so pretty, so cute, so sharp that you want every other man, woman to notice you? Don't you get no such ideas. Don't you think you can stick her off in the corner and run all around the country and God will say it's all right? It isn't all right. Don't think that you can just let her nibble and knack and just get by the best way she can and wear what... And no, sir, don't you ever think God will let you. God will get you for sure. Love her like Christ loved the church. He'd done everything in his power for her. A man that won't provide for his family has denied the faith. He is worse than an infidel. If he is double-minded, a woman or a man, want to do this today and that tomorrow and this today and that tomorrow, one thing today and one thing, Bible said that man will never receive anything of God. Never. Never. You understand what I'm saying? All right.